Today's scripture reading is Psalm 1. So Tyndale described this as an introduction to the whole Psalter as a faithful doorkeeper confronting those who would be in the congregation of the righteous. And the ESV describes it as the way of the righteous and the wicked. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But in his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. We thank God for his word.
Good morning. Turn with me, if you would please, to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17. As you're turning there, let me encourage you to be here next Sunday at 9 o'clock in the morning, an hour earlier than our usual service. What we're going to do for the first time, at least in my memory, is we're going to meet a little earlier next Sunday morning, and we're going to meet outside by the flagpole, and we're going to pray for our country. We're going to ask that God would bless our leadership, even those with whom we disagree. We'll ask for God's hand in turning our country continually back to him, and we'll ask that God would bless this place once again. And so if you could, please be here early next week. Join us as we pray together for our country next Sunday at 9 o'clock. As I said just a bit ago, our text this morning is Jeremiah 17. And our focus will be upon verses 5 through 8. Before we read the text, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to guide us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that it is warm today. Thank you that some of us are uncomfortable, so that your word would be clearer as we hear it proclaimed, so that we would benefit from the reminder of how important it is to stay hydrated. So that we would remember that apart from your life in us, your providence for us, we wither, we die, we faint. And so, Lord, I ask that our trust would not be in our own strength, that our trust would not be in men, whether they be politicians or celebrities or even ourselves or family members, but instead that our trust would be unwaveringly in you. And that we would draw from that trust the soul-refreshing truth of your Spirit and your Word. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for Vacation Bible School this coming week, and I ask that you would bring into this room and into this building those that you plan to bless through the ministry of your Word. I pray for those who will be helping, that you would give them joy, that you would give them the ability they need and the strength and stamina to make it through. Lord, I pray most of all, though, that you would honor your name by your word being proclaimed, and that if there's someone here this morning who does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that you would show them their thirst so that they would come to you as the fountain of living waters. And we ask this, that your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Long bike rides, long days at the beach, and dehydration. Something we don't think about at other times of the year, but at this time of the year, maybe it's time that we thought about it a little bit. How often do we tell our family members, or how often do they tell us, you better stay hydrated? And oftentimes we just trust in ourselves, in our strength or our own feelings, and we don't realize that we are dehydrated until it already has become a big deal. Let me begin to describe to you the dangers of dehydration, at least physically in general. What dehydrates us? What is true of us when we become dehydrated? Well, the simple answer is this: simply too much activity with not enough refreshing water. If we do too much, if we are running along the beach, if we are riding our bike along the road, if we are walking in the sun, and we don't have enough water, eventually we will become dehydrated. Another thing that also dehydrates us is seeking to quench our thirst with things that actually make it worse, like coffee or soda. I love coffee. I don't like coffee. I love coffee. And if I could, I would drink little else. But apparently, that actually dehydrates you, not hydrates you, which I think is sad. And I also like soda. And by the way, it's soda, not pop. I don't care where you're from. Yes, I got an amen there. I heard it. But actually, drinking soda can actually dehydrate you because of the caffeine involved. I was a little surprised about that. And so what then is the single most important defense against dehydration? The answer: drinking water, sipping it, not guzzling it. If you guzzle a half a gallon of water, it's not going to help you long term because it's going to move through you quickly, and then a few hours later in the hot sun, you will be dehydrated. And so the first thing we'll talk about this morning in the Word of God is the burning sun. If you'll look with me, let's read verses 5 through 8 in Jeremiah chapter 17, and then we'll begin to unpack this verse by verse. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. We've mentioned briefly the danger of dehydration in a physical sense. Let's begin to talk about spiritual dehydration and ask, first of all, what the danger of dehydration is. Notice what the text says, that if you fall under the indictment of Jeremiah 17, that is, if you refuse to sip from the water of God's strength and presence, you will be, first of all, cursed. Notice that the Word of God does not mince words with those who dabble in God. The Bible says that if you dabble in God, if you touch very lightly upon the things of Christianity but fail to drink in its truth, you will be cursed. Just like the person who's planning a long bike ride and decides just to have a shot glass of water in preparation. It's too little to sustain your soul. And so we must drink. We must drink to our full of God's word, God's truth, God's spirit, God's presence. Or else we will be cursed. And he'll describe what that's like in the next verse. But for now, let's then move on to the next thing we find. First of all, you are cursed. And secondly, you place your faith in people. And this is including or limited to yourself. Remember when you were a kid and your mom would say, make sure you're drinking enough water? Wouldn't you, if not with your hand, at least in your heart, go, I know what I'm doing. I'm not thirsty. Leave me alone. And then you'd pour yourself a big, tall glass of soda. We think that just because we don't yet see the symptoms of our spiritual dehydration, we think we're fine. But what I read this week in preparation for this is that by the time you see the symptoms of dehydration in yourself, you're already dehydrated. And unfortunately, we place our faith in what we think and what we feel, what we are accustomed to, our own ability to tough it out, instead of placing our faith always in God. Now notice what it says next. First of all, you are cursed. Secondly, you make flesh your strength. And thirdly, your heart turns away from the Lord. You are really thirsty, but you keep drinking coffee instead of water, and your condition only gets worse and not better. So we began to talk last Sunday. What we're trying to do is battle against the particular temptations that we face during the summer. And one of the greatest temptations we will have is to neglect our walk with the Lord to the point where we slowly become spiritually dehydrated, we become lifeless and dizzy, and we wonder, what happened? Now notice how this verse begins to describe this condition, starting in verse 6. He will be like a bush in the desert. He'll be like a tumbleweed. You ever see those? They just tumble. They get blown through the desert. They're dead, dry, and crackly. That is what your life will be like if you neglect the means of grace in order to draw closer to Him and to drink the water of life. You will dry up. You will become a tumbleweed in the desert. Now, what does this mean? This means that when you hear things about God, or when thoughts come to your mind about God, you will be strangely unmoved by them. You will be unaffected by them. And no longer will your heart pound in affection to the God of the universe. You will dry up and you will become close to being dead. Notice the next thing it says in verse 6 is you will not see when prosperity comes. Why? Because you're just blowing through the desert, and by the time the rains come, you're already dead. Instead, verse 6 says, you will live in stony places or desolate places. It says this, you will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. That's the burning sun. That is the danger that we see. Let's now then turn our thoughts to the blessed source in verse 7. Notice how this person, the one who dries up spiritually, the one who is spiritually dehydrated, is compared and contrasted with the other person, and that we find in verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Now, what does it mean to be blessed? What does that mean to be blessed? Well, it means two things primarily. First of all, it means to be happy. If you're happy, you're blessed. It's the same word in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It means to be happy, to have joy. Secondly, it means to have a positive or wonderful thing happen to you. Like we say things like, Joe Schmo was really blessed when whatever happened. Why would such a man be blessed? Because trusting in the Lord is the most sure way of living a joyful life. Just like continual sipping from water will prevent dehydration. Because trusting in the Lord is the most sure way of living a joyful life. Have you ever been way too hot? How about now? Have you ever been in a situation where you're out and you're just feeling empty and thirsty? And then you see somebody else, a big old bottle of water in their hand, big smile on their face, and they say, beautiful day, isn't it? And in your heart, you're thinking, you will die soon, right? And you say, yes. There is a supply for us who are thirsty. And when we trust in Him who supplies, we are blessed, we are happy, we're relaxed, we are not worried about the sun, about the heat. In verse 7, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And then it says something else. First it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And then it says, blessed is he whose trust is the Lord. Do you notice that in verse 7? It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Now notice this, and whose trust is the Lord. Can I suggest to you that many of you trust in the Lord, but your trust is not the Lord? What's the difference? Well, the difference is this. Maybe you trust God to give you money, and then you rely on your money. Maybe you trust God to give you friends, and then you rely on your friends. Maybe you trust God to make you healthy, and then you rely on your own strength. That's not what this verse is commending for us. It is telling us to trust in God and make God our trust. We're not relying on our physical strength. We are not relying on the size of our bank account. We are not relying on our gifts or talents. We are not relying on our friends. We are relying only on and in God. And if that is true of you, you are blessed even when the sun is blazing hot and the weather is drying everyone else out. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and blessed is the man whose trust is the Lord. What then does this call us to? It calls us to faithfully rely on God to provide our needs, but it also calls us to faithfully remember that God is our greatest need. It reminds us that when we're thirsty, we must trust God to provide for us, and God must be that which quenches our thirst. We trust in Him to give relief to our dry and weary souls, and we trust Him to be the relief of our dry and weary souls. God must be loved for Himself, not for what He gives. The famous preacher A.W. Tozer, in his book, Man, the Dwelling Place of God, says this. And I want to read this to you. It's kind of a long quote. Bear with me. This is an amazing quote written by somebody who could speak and think a lot more clearly than I do. He said this, God being who He is must always be sought for Himself, never as a means towards something else. Whoever seeks other objects and not God is on his own. He may obtain those objects if he is able, but he will never have God. God is never found accidentally. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. He goes on to say, whoever seeks God as a mean towards desired ends will not find God. The mighty God, the maker of earth and heaven, will not be one of many treasures, not even the chief of all treasures. He will be all in all, or he will be nothing. God will not be used. His mercy and grace are infinite, and his patient understanding is beyond measure. He will not aid men in their selfish striving after personal gain. He goes on to say a lot more about this. Then he closes it by saying this, God wills that we should love Him for Himself alone, with no hidden reasons, trusting Him to be to us all our natures require. Our Lord said all this much better, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Verse 7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and blessed is the man whose trust is the Lord. Why? Why is it that we must seek God for God and not seek God for what God gives us? Why? Well, the text tells us in verse 8, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream, and he will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. We're told that this blessed supply, or this blessed source, results in a bountiful supply in verse 8. Let's look at how the righteous are described here, how the blessed are described. He will be like a tree planted by the water. When a tree is next to a stream, it doesn't matter how hot it gets, it's fine because it has enough resources to draw in order to combat the heat. And those who trust in God will ever find him faithful to provide the things he promises. Those who trust in God will never find him lacking in that which we need. He will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream. Notice, he will not be afraid. What difference does it make? Well, here's the difference. First of all, he will not be afraid. You're never afraid of dying of thirst when you have a whole bottle of water in your hand and a whole case of bottled water in the trunk of your car or in the refrigerator. When we trust in God and when we draw from God, we are not afraid of drying out spiritually. We're not afraid of becoming dehydrated. Secondly, he will not be anxious. He will not be afraid and he won't be anxious. Notice this. He will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green. And it will not be anxious in a year of drought. They don't worry. Where is my joy coming from? Where is my life coming from? Because they know it is all in the hands of God. And thirdly and finally in this passage, they will not be unproductive. Have you ever wondered why maybe your Christianity is just not making that big a difference in your life? Maybe it's not changing you the way you know it should and the way you hoped it would. Maybe, just maybe, you have ceased to produce spiritually because you have ceased to trust in God and began to trust your own creativity, your own power, your own might, your own thoughts. Well, friends, how can we apply this to ourselves? What can we do to make sure that our roots are deep and drawing water from the holy God of the universe? Well, the first thing that we must do is spend time drawing water from the stream. The plain truth of the matter is, unless you are willing to spend time in the Word of God, in prayer, in the things that God has called you to, unless you are willing to do those things, you will not sustain spiritual growth. During the summer, there's so many distractions that keep us from spending adequate time in the Word, in prayer, and in doing the things that God has called us to do. Let me challenge you to make up your mind now that for the rest of the summer, every single day, you will spend time in prayer, you will spend time in reading the Word, you will spend time doing the things that move your heart in God's direction. That you won't just assume that you're good for a while, that you have enough stored up, but instead, you would come to him every day. Secondly, let me challenge you to ask yourself the important questions. Questions like this: have I been faithful? Have I been reliable in doing the things that I've said I would do, that God has called me to do, the things that he commands and obeys? Ask yourself the important and difficult questions. Questions like, am I really trusting in God or am I trusting in myself? Thirdly, Let your devotions take effect in you. I don't know if this is true of you, but it's true of me. Sometimes I'll open the Bible and I'll read, and it just doesn't really do anything for me. It doesn't change me. It doesn't affect me. And sometimes we just close it and we say, well, I tried, and we walk away and we feel guilty the rest of the day. Well, let me challenge you not to stop until God blesses you, to be as described in Genesis 32:26, when he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And Jacob becomes Israel, wrestling with God. Don't just dabble in God during the summer. Don't just get it over with. Don't just check the box. Instead, dive deeply into the Word of God and into prayer and into fellowship and into worship and into all these things. Study so that you would grow and that you would be refreshed. Fourthly and lastly, talk to God throughout the day. The plain truth of the matter is we can't read the Bible all day. None of us can, or very few of us can at least. Because we have other things we need to do. What you can do all day is pray. You can pray anytime. You can pray while you're doing other things. You can pray, and you know, as long as you keep your eyes open, while you're driving. You can pray anytime. So stay with that and talk to God throughout the day. Read the Word of God in the morning. Pray all day. Then read the Word of God at night before you go to bed. And read it and don't let go of it until it's a blessing to you. Don't go to sleep until your heart is affected. Don't leave your study until your heart is affected. And you will be refreshed and blessed in the Word and in the Lord. Spend time drawing water from the stream. Ask yourself the important or difficult questions. Let your devotions take effect in you. And finally, talk to God throughout the day. In Jeremiah 17, verse 5, we find this. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, and he will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Professional NFL players are world renowned for being some of the strongest athletes in the world. And years ago, it was the practice during their preseason stuff to not give them very much water to toughen them up. And they'd say, you don't need water. Let's keep practicing and practicing and practicing. And then an NFL player died from dehydration. And then the NFL woke up and realized these big, strong, strapping young human beings need a regular supply of water or they're going to die. So do you. So do I. So do we. Verse 7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. Some of you might be here today and no matter what you do, you will not draw water yet because you are not yet alive as a tree. Some of you here today are not yet Christians, and you can read all you want, and you can say your prayers, and you can do good works, but ultimately it's not going to bless you. You will not be blessed until you come to the fountain of living water and ask him to save you. And so as we close in prayer, let me challenge you that if you're not yet a believer in Jesus Christ, that you would reach out to him and say, God, I'm a sinner and I know I deserve to be punished, but you promise to refresh my soul. You promise to provide your water for me. Let's ask him to do that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you that Jesus is the water of life. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that by your sovereign grace, you would grant them life. That you would move within them so that they would be able to trust you, to make you their trust, to rely on you, to cast themselves at your feet, and to be protected from the dry heat of this world. Lord, I also want to take this time to pray again for Vacation Bible School, to dedicate this time to you. Help us, Lord, to stay spiritually hydrated as we're serving others, so that at the end of the week, the children wouldn't just be blessed, but also the adults who are serving. Lord, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for all the hard work that goes into doing all these things. I pray that you would be honored and glorified in these things. And we pray to the praise of your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.